Greetings, everyone. This is Christopher Rudy for Cosmic Love, this day, August the 29th. And we're going to be having on the show today Michelle Curren, who is a distinguished, renowned astrologer. And she's going to be talking about her book, Astrology for Enlightenment. I'd like to give a little background on Michelle. You can read more about her on the Cosmic Love webpage there on BBS Radio. There's links to her book. There's more information about her teleclasses and events that she has coming up. There's some very interesting things we'll be talking about today regarding the understanding of the Mayan calendar and the astrology and psychology of the trends, the portents of the hour. And I think it's going to be an interesting show. I want to give a little introduction to Michelle. She's French and Finnish-born and became aware of her psychic medium gifts as a child and became a professional astrologer at age 14. She obtained her master's degree in philosophy with honors at the University of Geneva, Switzerland, on the role of archetypes and the meaning of human existence in the works of Carl Gustav Jung. Michelle earned a diploma with the Faculty of Astrological Studies in London and with graduate studies in medieval astrology. She also has a professional degree in yoga from the École Française de Yoga, I don't know how to pronounce that in French, and has studied classical piano in the conservatories of Paris, Geneva, and at the American University in Washington, D.C. She has appeared in several Hollywood movies. She is also a member of the National Black Belt Club in Taekwondo and serves abused children through free arts. She's also a trained actress and model who has studied at the Beverly Hills Playhouse in Los Angeles and with an acting, with how do you say that, Jean Bu acting for Life
Studios?
Yeah,
Jean Bu acting.
And the Phoenix Film, and the Phoenix Film Institute. So we're really happy to have you with us tonight, Michelle.
Oh, thank you, Christopher. I'm very excited to be here with you. And I think this is going to be an exciting show.
Well, I'm really looking forward to it. There's a lot I'd like to cover. We're going to be speaking for about 15 minutes. And I wanted to get into your book a little bit. Before I do, this is your ninth book, I understand, Astrology for Enlightenment.
Yes.
And there's, again, links on that on the webpage, Cosmic Love webpage, that if you'd like to read more information about the book as we're talking about it. There's a little buzz going on today as we speak with the funeral of Senator Edward Kennedy, with an instant replay going on of the entire Kennedy family history, which is kind of an interesting corollary. And there's a little buzz going on with astrology with for astrologers out there, with a cardinal T-square going on with Mercury as the focus. That's a whole other story, but I think we're going to be talking more about the general aspects of astrology today, and specifically I'm interested in your book, Astrology for Enlightenment and the Mayan Calendar, and some things you've referenced in your book material on the website. That sounds really interesting. The prophecies of, what was it, John the Beloved?
John of Jerusalem.
Of Jerusalem. And I'd like to hear more about that if we have time.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm pretty amazed with your background, Michelle, and how it's, you're a hard act to follow yourself.
Thank you. You know, I think I always did things I love to do, so I have very varied interests, I guess.
Oh, I'm pretty amazed how you've matured with your insight into the personal and planetary ascension process, which I understand is kind of a veiled message within your book, Astrology for Enlightenment.
Yes, absolutely. Actually, that was kind of a fluke in a way, because I have a very dear friend of mine, and she knows I speak about her in that way. She's very psychic. She's a Pisces. She's very beautiful, a Reiki master. And she was absolutely overwhelmed by the message of, Kahneman in his book, The Transformation of Consciousness and the Mayan Calendar in 2012. And she kept hitting me with messages from him, thinking that I was going to do something with them. And at first, I didn't really react to anything until one day she ended up sending me the book, and I read it. But still, it didn't resonate with me, because the Mayan calendar is an interesting thing, is that it is based not on any planetary movement, because the Mayans had actually two calendars. They had the normal, ordinary calendar that would describe people's personal destiny, and they had what was called the long count, which was the sacred calendar, which consisted of 13 deities multiplied by 20 aspects of creation, the signs. And this was the calendar upon which all the prophecies were based. So when I read all that, and when I read, you know, that the last few years that we are going through right now until the end of the Mayan calendar, and by the way, by end, it doesn't mean that nothing happens beyond that, but it means that we are going through a transformation of consciousness, which is going to lead us to a whole new creation, and nothing is written about that new creation because basically we have the free will to create it. So
I like that, man.
Mankind has free. It would not be written because it's not written.
It's like mankind has free will, so anything is possible. And
absolutely.
I like to think of the 2012 timeline as the end of time as we know it.
Absolutely.
It's just not that time doesn't go on, but it's the end of time as we've known it. In other
That's
words, the linear sense of time is being transcended by a nonlinear sense of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love that you say that, Christopher, because it's the end of society as we've known it, and that's why everything seems like it's collapsing and there seems to be so much darkness. And it's not that there is more darkness than it past. In the past, it's just more visible.
Yeah,
because
it's like light and love, the Aquarian dispensation of cosmic love, transcends and transmutes all that's unlike itself. It brings it up for transmutation, and it's all up in front of our eyes right now.
Oh, I love that. That's a very beautiful way of putting it, Christopher, and extremely accurate. And you were talking about, you know, the end of linear time, which is true, because time is not linear. It's not past, present, future. In all the indigenous societies, they always saw time as circular, as a spiral. So
yes.
Everything goes in cycles, and everything comes back, but on a higher, different level. So basically, past, present, and future exist simultaneously. And that is the reason why we are feeling that time is accelerating, not because we're becoming older, although that may be part of it, but because everything is happening simultaneously. So as soon as we exercise our free will in one way, the consequences, also called karma, happens almost instantaneously. So,
and that process is accelerating as we know it.
And absolutely. And the exciting thing is that if we think in negative terms, well, that comes back to us in a negative way pretty much instantly. But if we start to think in positive ways, and if we start to believe in the goodness, and we start to really trust and have faith in our capacity to create a much better world, then that's also going to manifest extremely fast.
Oh, I like to think of the law of karma as accelerating, and with it the law of free will, whereby we get what we ask for, whether we know it or like it or not.
You know, this thing like, be careful what you ask for, that's pretty much what we need to be careful of right now.
Yeah. Well, that process of that's accelerating. Now, there's been a lot written about it. I've had quite a few authors of books on the 2012 phenomena towards zero point, as Greg Braden refers to. And I like to think of the zero point as the circle and the zero, the spherical consciousness of the infinite, eternal here and now, and the fully present sense of connection to the larger scheme of things. And that's where astrology comes in.
Absolutely.
That there are cycles that are manifesting as above, so below, and the kingdom consciousness, you might say, the consciousness of on earth as it is in heaven, that this is the larger context for human evolution right now. And it's interesting how we have an internet, a global internet now, which is instant, everywhere, interactive, and there is no time or space. Or time or space has been eliminated. So it's like the mysteries of time and space are being unveiled with this infinite, eternal, here and now sense of connection in a global village. And that concept of we're just like the family of man now brings up to the surface all the sense of separation and suffering that afflicts, you know, our humanity.
Absolutely. And the thing is that that's also a time, you were mentioning the death of Ted Kennedy, is that this is a time where a lot of people are actually choosing to leave the planet in very unexpected ways. And I don't know about you, but I've had quite a bit of friends who, you know, you have dinner with them on Saturday night and Sunday morning they're dead, and they had no disease, they were young, I mean, vibrant. It's like, oh my gosh, how is that possible?
Yeah.
But it is a time where people are deciding to go, are deciding to, you know, that we have to evolve in such an accelerated way, and we are confronted with all the fine-tuning or sometimes the heavy-duty work on ourselves that we haven't done in the years past. And some people think, you know, believe or trust they're going to be able to do it faster on the other side.
Well, there is a thing about soul contracts, too, and I've talked about this with many authors on the show, that we come in, each soul comes in with an agreement, a contract, so to speak. And I think some people refer to it as a vow that we make before the great karmic board, before they send us into a family, a genetic code with an astrology and a community and a place and a time that fits our evolutionary ascension.
Mm-hmm.
And these soul contracts are completely unique. You can't judge what another person's contract is. You know, we just don't know. And sometimes when the cycle's up, for whatever reason, you know, they go back. And quite often that reason is their soul contract is up. And we never know when that is. You know, I personally don't have the gift of checking my Akashic records and going back to what that is exactly, but I know that of all the impulses for evolutionary ascension of the soul, there's the pure intention for focused attention on the highest and best use of one's gifts and talents. And I think that's the great joy of a lot of people like yourself who are really bringing forth amazing stuff for this time.
Thank you. But, you know, the interesting thing for me was when I read this Mayan calendar and all that material, I started to think that if it really was for real, then in Western astrology, which is what I'm really an expert in, I would see the same patterns. So I started taking all those dates of the last years of the Mayan calendar leading up to 2012 and looking at the transition dates and checking to see what the astrology and Western astrology looked like.
On the long count. On the long count.
Yes, on the long count, on the sacred calendar, absolutely. And I was just blown away. And that's
really?
The Mayan calendar started to really catch my attention, because in every time of transition, and the next one is going to be on the 8th of November 2009, where we're going to enter the sixth night, which is pretty much the last night before the end of the Mayan calendar, which will last until the November 2nd, 2010, and which is ruled by the god of healing. So there is going to be bliss for those people who have done their work on themselves. and pretty much hell for those who haven't, but that's another story. But it's going to be a time where, in terms of what I see there in Western astrology, is that there is an incredible connection, grand trine between the Moon, Uranus, and Mercury. And
really?
That does mean that this is a time where we are going to be, our thinking process is going to accelerate in such a way that we are going to be able to access information that doesn't seem to be related. We are going to be able to connect the dots. We're going to probably start channeling or continue channeling, because a lot of people already are, through our dreams, even extraterrestrial information. And this is a time where there's going to be a whole rearrangement of our families. So that could mean that there would be separation with people we were close to, but really not of the same spirit family with. And we shall be connecting with the people we are truly connected to in a spiritual way, even if they're
not. In other words, one's real family,
exactly,
are those who perhaps have the same soul contract, or at least have the same pure intention for this evolutionary ascension process.
Well, I think it's people who are really on the same wavelength at the same time.
Same wavelength is another way of saying it, yeah.
Because that's, everything is about wavelengths at this time, you know, and it's so
frequency.
Interesting. And that's why I really was drawn back to the prophecy of John of Jerusalem, which has absolutely nothing to do with the Mayan calendar, but it completely confirms the Mayan calendar. And this prophecy was actually rediscovered in a monastery near Moscow in 1994 by Professor Galievski. And it was published as a little book in Paris called Le Troisième Millénaire Révélé, Les Prophéties de Jean de Jérusalem, The Third Millennium Revealed, The Prophecies of John of Jerusalem. And it was published by the Édition Jean-Claude Lattès in Paris. And it caught my attention. I was traveling through Paris at that time, and I just, you know, looked at that book, and it just felt so true to me. And yet at the time, nobody was talking about the Mayan calendar. Nobody was talking about any end of anything. And
yeah,
nobody was even doing radio shows like you're doing now. I mean, this was just unheard of. And it felt very true. And there are two parts of this prophecy. So the thing is that not much is known of John of Jerusalem, except that he probably was a Knight Templar and a Knight Hospitalier, which were those Knights Templars who were protecting the road of the pilgrims going to the holy city, Jerusalem, where they had built a temple and a hospital. And it is also believed that he freed, you know, Jerusalem from the Turks who had invaded it 20 years prior to that date. And that's it. But he had this vision, which is very, very short. It's actually about 34 pages, 40 paragraphs, and each about 10 to 12 lines. And it has two parts. The first part, which is the longest, which is about 30 paragraphs. And the second one, which is only 10 paragraphs. So to my knowledge, it's not being translated into English. So I translated it myself from Old French for this book. And I put it in the book in such a way that it's divided by topics, because he keeps repeating himself quite a bit when you start to look at how it's broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And basically the first part talks about, and he says he doesn't give an exact date, but he does say the millennium coming after the first millennium, which would be 2000 and after, for the first
mm-hmm.
part. And the second part is about when the year coming after the year 1000 will come into full bloom, which I interpret to mean after 2012. And basically the first part of that prophecy is very dark and very bleak. But you know what? You open any radio, television station that's giving out news, that's exactly what's going on. He talks about, he talks a lot about
I was going to say it's the great purification that the Hopi talked about.
Absolutely, and it's the same. And the Hopis are also, you know, corroborating the same thing. So this prophecy of the Mayan calendar is not the only one. There's many, and they all converge in exactly the same way, at the same time, saying the same things. So, but what I like about the prophecy of John of Jerusalem, which, by the way, was written 500 years before Nostradamus' century, and which is much clearer and leaves absolutely no room for interpretation, is that he did talk about all the domestic abuse, he did talk about war, he did talk about destruction, about earthquakes, and there's been, by the way, more earthquakes in the past 7 years than in the past few centuries, and that he talks about a time where a few will rule the many, and that we won't necessarily know the faces or the names of those who truly rule the planet. He's talking about the internet. He says that information will be spread throughout the planet simultaneously. At all times, we shall know what's going on in another side of the planet. He also talks about AIDS and about a time where people are very selfish and pursuing their own pleasure and taking it however they can, wherever they can, and that's kind of the, you know, rampant
materialism.
What has resulted out of the sexual revolution, which has
hedonism,
creating a lot of corruption and perversity. And he does speak about all those things that are actually happening right now. You open any newspaper, that's exactly what's going on. But the good news is that it doesn't end on a bleak note, because he does say that when the millennium coming after the first millennium will come into full bloom, that's when man will wake up to the fact that he is divine, that to the fact that his actions are of consequence, and that he has to heal the earth, and he will start actually healing the earth and purifying the waters and recreating forests. And there will be an understanding that what we do unto another, we are truly doing unto ourselves. And that man will go back to the ways of God, will go back to his understanding of wisdom and the divinity, and life will be peaceful, and the earth will blossom, and we will be a happy people again.
Wow, that's all in his vision.
But you know what? This vision is not a vision, because it's true. It's already
it's
a vision. It's a manifesting vision.
Yeah, I call it the common sense that's uncommon.
Exactly, but it is happening. If you look at the work of Dr. Emoto in Japan, who realized that by prayer and by putting beautiful words on bottles of water, he could clear the most polluted lakes in Japan, or tap water in Japan, which is reputed to be the worst in the world. Then, and when we are starting to understand all the healing modalities that are starting to emerge left and right all over the planet, we're starting to understand that what we think creates our reality, this is already happening. We are healing the earth. We are becoming aware of recycling. We are becoming aware of all the abuse we have created. Relationships are changing. Our relationship to money is changing. Our relationship to work is changing. I mean, our whole understanding
of
consciousness,
our consciousness is changing.
Absolutely.
And
so
it's
exciting.
It's interesting too to me that you reference the correspondence of the Mayan calendar to Western astrology through this fall into this next fall, over this next year, and that I think you put it within the context of a healing momentum or a healing. Of course, the healthcare issue is really big right now, and the Reformation or some kind of healthcare reform going on. And this is also a big issue, and you mentioned, as I was listening to you, you mentioned that this will be really good for the healing of some individuals, and you said it's going to be hell for others, but that's another story. And I'm thinking, as soon as you said that, I was thinking of the mandatory vaccination thing that's coming up this fall.
Oh gosh, I hope.
And I'm thinking about that because I've been writing a lot about that lately, and I've been writing a lot about numerous articles to my email list, and anybody listening to the show can ask to be on the list. But I'm writing about a lot of information on universal self-care with information databases, you know, the global internet that can provide information on all the different modalities and how you can enter the database with your metabolic type, which is your blood type, which corresponds to pretty much your genetic code and which foods are ideal or not. But specifically then, enter your current symptom profiles, and the database would be a self-perfecting database that could be global. It could be free. And the only obligation of people using this free service is that they report back to the database what they did, whether it be homeopathic, naturopathic, chiropractic, allopathic, or some, you know, eclectic combination of all the above, and report the results, you know, with specific reporting protocols, you know, the first day, 3 days, or whatever, and to basically expand an empirical database of what's working best for your body type, your blood type, with when you have specific, you know, health symptoms, and what's indicated, whether that be, you know, more in-depth analysis, or what's indicated in terms of herbs or vitamins or diet, or, you know, just the full spectrum of what is working best for your body type, highest common denominator medicine rather than lowest common denominator, you know, one drug fits all. And the vision is basically a healing of the healthcare system. And, of course, I've had three holistic health centers over my life, and I've really delved into this, and I kind of pioneered a model of this with artificial intelligence software back in 1987, and introduced it, you know, to the different market makers at a convention, and I've been continuing to look at it, and of course timing is everything, and I was seeing this issue right now while the healthcare issue is such a focused issue. But the challenge is, at this time, and it's interesting to see that Western astrology and the Mayan calendar kind of correspond to the timeliness of this issue. But it really appears to me, it seems to me, that all this miraculous technology that has the world all connected now in a global village, this instant everywhere interactive information knowledge power, could be used, should be used for basically, you know, a vision for wholeness and healing that would be empirical, you know, that would be self-evident, that would be very clear on what's working best, and the more people using it, the more clear it would become, you know, for, you know, the public's awareness. So anyway,
interesting. It's really interesting what you're saying, Christopher, because I think we all the information is out there, and people have choices to make now, very real personal choices. And either we believe in the reality of scarcity and the reality of the recession and the reality of, you know, victimhood in the face of, you know, the medical, existing medical care system, or we decide to take things into our own hands, and we look at our options, and we look at different ways of dealing with certain issues. And the information is all over the internet. The information is all over. I mean, if you look even in bookstores, it's unbelievable. There's whole walls of books on Ascension, on 2012, what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And some of those books are very doomsday kinds of books, but I have incredible hope for the future. Incredible. Because first of all, amazing children are coming into this, on this planet, and if you Google quantum reading, you'll see that those kids in Japan will flip through the pages of a book in a few seconds, and it can tell you all the contents of the book, even stuff that's way beyond their years and way beyond their understanding, and yet they can give it back to you, and they read the whole book in just a few minutes, a few seconds.
Yeah, the Shishita method is being introduced in the United States now, and it cultures that that spherical, nonlinear consciousness of just knowing.
Exactly, and you know what? And it's known now that you can absorb the contents of a book by putting a book under your pillow and just sleeping on it at night.
Like Edgar Casey did.
Oh, he did that?
No, Edgar Casey, he was famous for that. Well, that's when he was his child. He put I think it was the Bible he put under his head. And that's when he started going to source when he was a kid. And he put whole books. That's right. He'd be studying for exams in school, and he'd put the whole book, whatever he was studying, under his pillow. And this was before he, became a seer visionary and started going into trance and giving visions of the future.
I did not know. Thanks for
that
sharing.
That was part of his history. Edgar Casey.
You know what? That
really
makes a lot of sense.
But it's the same principle of this nonlinear knowing, and it's like going to source or tapping the Akashic records, and I think everyone has that ability, in a subconscious or unconscious way.
And you know what? And that's where we have to be careful of what we ask for, because as
exactly.
It said, you know, whatever you ask for will be given to you.
Yeah.
And, for example, someone like Barbara Marciniak, who wrote these amazing books, Bringers of the Dawn and The Earth Library, and who channels the Pleiadians, she put the intention of channeling the Pleiadians, and one day she did. So things are really about intention, but it's about our faith and our belief in the reality of what we ask for as having already happened. So it's creating the emotion of what we want as having already happened. And the more we do that with a pure heart, and that's a very important
pure intention.
Aspect.
Yeah.
Absolutely, but pure heart. Because we need to have a clean heart. We need to do things from the heart now. We can't do things from the mind. Actually, our minds are kind of shutting down because there is such an overload of information right now. We're so bombarded left and right that we can't process that much information. In one day, we're basically dealing with the amount of information we had previously 10 years to process. I mean, how can you process 10 years of information in one day? It's just impossible.
Yeah.
And it's only getting worse as time goes.
Well, that's the greatest need. The greatest need of the hour. The more information we have, is the greater the need to get it all in order. And frames of reference for organizing information in formation of along more enlightened lines that frame nonlinear knowing. You know, it's like it's a paradox, and the greatest mysteries are veiled in paradox. But it's like balancing the left brain linear, logical, masculine principle with the right brain nonlinear, spherical, spiritual, feminine principle, the nurturing principle. And did you say it was Barbara Hanclow that had the pure intention to channel the Pleiadians?
No, it was Barbara Marciniak.
Oh, okay. Because I know Barbara Hanclow was, and we had a show on her Alchemy of Nine Dimensions and went into that.
Mm.
And she also, the energy, the Pleiades and the Pleiadian. There's a lot of stuff coming from the Pleiades these days.
Well, there's a lot of stuff coming from all the planets because we have to understand that we are star seeds, all of us. So
yes, we're star seeds.
That's why there are all those different races, is that we originally, where the planet was seeded from different planets. And now at these quote-unquote end times, all our, ancestors from other planets are coming and checking on us and helping us and supporting us.
Yep.
So we are definitely not alone in what is going on right now.
I think it's interesting, too, that a lot of the information that we get in crop circles, as well as in astrology, is geometric in nature.
Absolutely. And you see the last Copsicles have been unbelievable.
Unbelievable. It's for those who
the last three eclipses, which is a rare occurrence, which happened in July and August of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've been incredibly complex.
I've been following. It's just mind blowing. Of course, it never gets any media attention, but the best things in life right now are free on the internet. And
exactly. That's true. Isn't that great?
I mean, a lot of information.
Revolution going on
yeah.
on the internet.
Yeah. Well,
Silent revolution of the people.
I really believe that 90% of the word revolution is evolution.
Absolutely.
And it's a nonviolent process. It's like the eternal progression of the soul. It's an evolutionary process. And this life is just a flash in the pan as far as God's time goes. I mean, you know, it's just a click of the fingers in the cosmic scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
And we have this extraordinary opportunity in this dense octave of incarnation to anchor an understanding of divine order with divine harmony. And I think the crop circles and a lot of the information that you can get from astrology is that the divine order with the harmony of the spheres, you know, and how there is, and this, I love your background with Jung because it's that there's a pattern recognition. You can, once you get into it and study it, there's a repeating pattern or a common pattern or a common sense to these archetypes, and the geometric archetypes in crop circles and, In Jung, you know, how he began with the mandalic orientation, which was the same mandalas in Hopi and Tibetan sand paintings. And those mandalic geometric thought forms were frames of reference for meditation, for mediation, you might say, to a higher understanding of this divine order with divine harmony. And the principles are the same. Once you transcend the concept of crop circles or astrology and any, you know, when you transcend the surface and go into the core archetypes or the core patterns, and they have universal meaning, the circle, the triangle, the square. And I like to reference to the biological model within the brain, the left hemisphere, which is linear, left brain logical, the right hemisphere, which is nonlinear, spherical, simulsensory. And so you have the L and the O, linear, left brain, spherical, right brain, and you have the V, which is like the synthesis of the left and right brain, either in the third eye chakra, the upper brain, or in the base of the brain, which is, you know, the reptilian complex, the R complex. And fear takes you to the lower brain, but faith takes you to the third eye, and the higher brain.
I love that you do that, Christopher. Yeah,
it's just simple, pure geometry. But the universe is holographic, and there's a lot of material coming out on the holographic universe, and how it's holistic and all connected and multidimensional. And the brain is a holographic field with a three-dimensional, four, fifth-dimensional. Holographic field with the forebrain, the rear brain, the upper brain, the lower brain, and the left brain,
exactly,
and
that's exactly what's happening. The end, quote quote, of the Mayan calendar,
yes.
on the 12th, December 12th, December 21st, sorry, 2012, is about shifting dimensions. So you shift
exactly.
dimensions. We are going from the third to the fifth dimension, and we shift dimension by raising our frequency. And how do we raise our frequency? We raise our frequency by allowing love, by allowing truth, allowing having integrity, having courage, and really being of a higher vibrational quality, like angels. You know, angels are a very good example. They are in a higher frequency than ours, and they can see us. We can't see them, except when we raise our frequency, and then we become sensitive to those higher realms, and we can actually see and talk with them.
I like to think of this, the law of the angles, which is a left brain linear thing, which men can relate to more of the logic of geometry. But the language of the angels is a right brain thing. It's the frequency of holy compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like women are more oriented that naturally to a right brain concepts, and men are naturally oriented. Of course, you have all, there's different, there's exceptions to the rule, but the concept of where the law of the angels meets the language of the angels is, and where there's a balance in relationships, when there's a balance with, when in the left and right hemisphere of the brain.
Absolutely.
You can't give to others what you don't have for yourself.
Exactly.
And a lot of men are beginning to embrace their feminine, and a lot of women are beginning to embrace the divine masculine, which is divine order. The concept of divine order is foreign to someone that's totally right brain, just as the concept of someone that's like Dr. Spock and very logical, you know, the concept of feelings is foreign to them. And a lot of men are like that.
And it's a challenging time with relationships. You know, a lot
yeah.
of people are alone or have been alone for many years because, first of all, we don't want half-baked relationships. We don't want
right.
a relationship just because, oh, it makes us feel safe, or, oh, I'm not going to be alone, or somebody's going to provide for me. These are dysfunctional relationships that just don't work anymore. And second is that we had to discover who we were on our own, and sometimes it's easier and faster to evolve when you're alone than it is with a partner who will block you, not understand you.
I believe that. And, of course,
and
the keyword for alone is all one.
Oh, I
and
like that.
When you're really all one and balanced, you really
oh, like
there's
that.
No there's no great need. As a matter of fact, relationships can sometimes complicate that.
Well, you know, if it's the wrong relationships, or if these are relationships that are, you know, there to help us transition to the next level in our lives, but are not necessarily the one, or
right.
the one who is our ultimate spirit partner, because these relationships exist. And I feel that as Saturn is going to enter Libra already in November of 2009, but really in July of 2010, all the way till July of 2012, then that October, sorry, of 2012, then that's going to be a time where we're going to start seeing more and more of those truly made in heaven relationships. And
you know,
people who
yeah.
maybe going through challenges, but these challenges help them grow, help them shift to the next level. They don't force them into a hole that's not in accordance with their highest truth. I'm sorry.
I really believe that the highest truth with this process of relationshipping begins with oneself, and that's the principle of the circle, the law of the one. The law of the two in one comes into a relationship with others as thyself, and whether it's complementary or not. And of course, you know that sometimes the best relationships for growth are oppositions.
That's true.
You know, in astrology, and other times the best relationships are trines.
Mm-hmm.
But it's different for different souls. Different souls, for the optimal growth, need different, you might say, geometric relationships. And
yeah.
it's different for different souls. It's very unique. You can't, and it's difficult to, you can't really prescribe in general for everyone.
But I would say that whatever relationship you have, whether it's with yourself or with another at any given time, is the perfect relationship for that moment.
For the moment, right.
It's going to be the perfect one forever, that's a whole different matter. And astrology
yeah.
definitely has a lot of answers regarding that. But the thing is that, as you were mentioning, and you were absolutely right in doing so, we first have to create the sacred marriage. And the sacred marriage is between the masculine and the feminine within ourselves.
Yes.
And once we are complete as an individual human being, whether we are male or female, once we have balanced as a man or as a woman our divine masculine and our divine feminine within, then we have a chance of attracting the person who is also complete in their own right, and then we become the two pillars of the temple between whom life can flow. And then these are not dysfunctional relationships. These are very growth-promoting, evolving, positive, enriching relationships.
Well, sometimes that relationship is like a person who's got a strong grand trine in their astrology. And that can be where life comes easy for them. If there's no oppositions in their natal chart, sometimes people just kind of take life for granted because there's no great challenge. It's just a natural harmony in their being. And they are adverse to having a relationship with someone who's really got a lot of squares, oppositions, challenges, victim-dictum, or self-contradictory, you know, aspects in their chart, you might say. And it's interesting how I think bodhisattvas, the expression in the East, they call them bodhisattvas, people that keep coming back even though they've qualified for the ascension. They keep coming back into incarnation to work with souls who are conflicted and challenged and who are not wholly ascended and free. And I think a lot of people come in with seeking relationships with others that they can, with the idea of fixing them up, with the idea of making things better, and instead of finding something really easy, something that's really compatible, and at the same time, other people are so tired of relationships with conflict that they seek something that's really easy, like themselves, or at least in harmony with, with not so many, so much opposition to harmony. And of course, harmony can be in the sense that they're the same type of interests, and they have the same like interests, and they go on these matchmaking websites and they find someone that, you know, kind of looks like them, or, you know, has the same interests and does the same things. And so there's the full gauntlet of personal astrology, psychology, and how that's a magnet. It can be a magnet for someone either like themselves or, again, for growth. Sometimes the soul knows that the best opportunity for growth is a challenging relationship.
But, you know, I think also that in the times to come, because of this 2012 ascension
yes.
process, we are becoming all collectively and individually ascended masters. So there's not going to be just one or two per century. It's going to be all of us are going to have a chance to become an ascended master. But we have to do our work on ourselves. This is not going to happen just
That's
magically.
True.
As we do our work on ourselves, the universe will support us, absolutely. But we still have to do our part, and our part is not easy. And relationships are going to be with finding, and this is what happens at the end of times, is that we were created androgynous in the beginning, male and female within one, and as time evolved, we became separated in masculine and feminine, in women and men, and Plato explains that process extremely well. And then at the end of time, then we had to interact with each other lifetime after lifetime, if we believe in the concept of reincarnation, as all sorts of things, brother, sister, parent, lovers, etc.
Yeah.
And at the end of times, we come back as lovers and as a couple, and through that coupling, can come children who are of the highest evolution and who are karma free. And this is truly love made in heaven. These are the stories that novels are written about and books and films are written about. And this exists, and there's going to be more and more of those relationships happening in the next few years. but we can only claim that ultimate high, evolutionary relationship with another that completely complements us and matches us in body, mind, soul, and spirit. And then there is no choice, because that's that perfect fit. It's like the glass slipper in Cinderella. There's that perfect fit. So it's not a matter of, oh, I should choose somebody who's similar or different or opposite, or somebody with whom it's just going to be the right fit. And once that right fit happens, we know we have completed our journey, because I believe that now the highest evolution is not coming on our own, going as a hermit to meditate in some monastery in the Himalayas, but it's about staying in society, being part of the world as it is, and yet being in the world without being of the world. And these are incredible, and I'm seeing around me some pretty extraordinary relationships. And you just feel good around those people, and you know they are meant to be, and this is not a thing of the mind in any way.
Well, I really believe this is the Aquarian dispensation that's coming on very fast. It's accelerating, and we're going to have to do a wrap with the show, Michelle. I think you're right on the button with this concept of the divine relationships that are in process.
And, thank you.
I'm so grateful that you're on the show today, and
thank
love to
you
do
for
this
having
again.
Me.
You bet. And thanks again. And for those again who'd like to more information on Michelle and her upcoming events, check the website on Cosmic Love and her website. Would you like to give us to that for your events
yes,
page?
Yes, it's michellekarle.com, michellekarle.com. And if anybody is interested in an autographed copy of my book, I do send that through my website also.
Well, thanks again, Michelle.
Well,
lots of love to you, and that's a wrap for today. We'll see everyone in a couple weeks on Cosmic Love. Thanks
Thank
for listening.
Thanks for listening to this presentation on Cosmic Love. I hope you have enjoyed receiving this as much as I have enjoyed giving it. There is a new relationship with all humanity that is maturing with the new synchronicity of instant, everywhere, interactive, net reality. Cosmic Love is the heart of this synchronicity. Tools and processes that empower the wisdom of Cosmic Love is the purpose of the Worldwide Love Foundation. The family of man is now making a quantum leap into a new consciousness as never before in history. Our awareness as humankind is expanding, and the Internet reflects that multidimensional expansion of consciousness into new realms of omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence in the power of cosmic love. This has huge implications. The more information we have, the greater the need to get it all in order. The more knowledge power we have, the greater the need for the wisdom of cosmic love. That should be common sense. And it's time to make common sense more common. If you agree that the American Revolution was huge for freedom and opportunity in the world, look what's happening to the whole world now. A new connection with cosmic love is positioning the golden rule, law, language for a golden age in our spirit, our minds, our hearts, and the soul of humanity. We're on the threshold of a global revolution that is awakening the angels of our better nature. Let's be honest and reason together. Cosmic love has always been the golden rule law language for every golden age in cosmic history. Some things don't change, only the ability of the human mind to grasp the full implications of the world in which we now live. That has changed with the Internet, and like an adolescent who is not an adult yet, but not a child either, the Internet is now installed, operational, and ready to take our personal and planetary consciousness to the next level. That would be cosmic love, and the foundation principles for this is the love model, a universal law language interface for net reality that represents the five-dimensional intelligence that can fulfill a global revolution in higher consciousness. Check it out for yourself. See how it works. Consider the role you can play and how you can benefit. The sooner you get the vision of this cosmic love thing, the sooner you can profit from a wholly new economy that will transform all our social networks with extraordinary abundance of everything held sacred by free people worldwide. There is a new intelligence that is defining and refining humanity's evolutionary ascent. The higher the intelligence of universal cosmic love, the greater the results. The gateway to higher consciousness is, in fact, the language of consciousness. The five-dimensional intelligence that cosmic love frames in form and frequency, as in frequently. Once you get it, how the Holy Spirit of love and action can heal our individual and collective conscience, it will become self-evident how cosmic love can nurture and culture the net reality that brings a Holy Spirit to the collective consciousness of humanity. Love heals all, always has, always will. The more cosmic and universal the vision of love, the greater the results. Welcome to the opportunity. It's time to link the light workers who are love makers. The internet now provides this opportunity for extraordinary synchronicity as will empower wisdom with cosmic love. Someone had to do it. Now you can. Network for the net worth of this new net reality. You have the vision now before you. What you do with it can change your world and the world at large. We are all co-creators in the cosmic scheme of cosmic love. The great spirit of great love is the great opportunity that genuine freedom gives all of us. Heaven knows that there is nothing more valuable than the vision of cosmic love that has found its time. Experience the Worldwide Love Foundation in your consciousness, being, and world. Care enough to share this vision of great opportunity. Step into the circle of global connection as you center and connect with the five-dimensional intelligence of cosmic love that provides the cultural DNA for a golden age on Earth. Miracles happen when cosmic love is conceived, believed, and achieved. You are that miracle when you become the cosmic love you want to see in the world. Own this vision as your own. Embrace the intrinsic virtue of cosmic love. Make the vow to do what you can because you can. Claim the victory for all mankind aspiring to live as kind men. Here's to winning from the beginning of a global revolution that will finish worldwide with the great experiment and representative government gave humanity with the American Revolution. Heaven on earth is virtually in your hands. Do you want the keys to the kingdom? Are you ready to assemble the components to the capstone of cosmic love vision? Discover the five-dimensional intelligence that will empower your own virtually untapped gifts and talents. Consider how you can make a difference, if not the difference. It's your life, your world. Take command. Give cosmic love the chance that you want for all mankind. Now you can. See for yourself. Do it for cosmic love, and heaven knows cosmic love will bless your life far beyond this one. Sooner or later, what goes around comes around. You can call that good karma, or the justice of cosmic law, or just the blessings of cosmic love. It's the same thing. The abundant life is born in abundant love. The more cosmic that love, the more abundant is your life. Personally, I can't think of anything better to do, and I hope you feel the same way. So keep in touch with cosmic love. It only gets better as you pay attention. This is how cosmic love works. Pay attention because attention pays in ways that make cosmic love the new currency for global peace and prosperity. Your attention is your consciousness. The next economy for planetary civilization will pay attention to the value of virtue, the virtue of cosmic love. The family of man and our global village must be connected to this one virtue. We must pay attention to the first principles of higher consciousness if we are to transcend the old paradigms of scarcity consciousness that scarcity economics has created. This is the whole point of cosmic love. We won't heal our personal and planetary problems with the same consciousness that created the problems. The best hope for humanity is the charity of goodwill among mankind. This is the charity of cosmic love in action. This is the Holy Spirit of cosmic love in man that raises mankind with loving kindness. I hope you appreciate this message and share it with others. That may be just your circle of influence with family and friends, or it may be every news group or blog on the internet where lightworkers and enlightened netizens, global citizens, hang out. By the grace of cosmic love, enough good people will do enough soon enough to quickly turn the tide of global consciousness from the paradigm of scarcity to the paradigm of abundance that cosmic love cultures. May the quickening and awakening of consciousness begin with you and your own personal evolution in higher consciousness. Thanks again for listening to Cosmic Love.